Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may your holy word be our holy rule, the Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory, Lord God, our single concern. And all God's people said, Amen. Listen. For these are the very words of God coming from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mockingly said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who comes upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let the Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were saved that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Ten minutes of Holy Scripture. You're probably wondering, how long is this sermon going to be? I might get in trouble today, but that's okay. I know that for many people, They have strong views of the end times. Some people are post-millennialist, pre-millennialist, amillennialist, dispensationalist. What's the correct version? Now I'm really going to get in trouble. I don't really want to talk about which one is right. Rather, what is the attitude that we are meant to have as Christians? Because in Holy Scripture, we are told over and over and over again that this world is going to get worse. Things are going to get tougher. Jesus even says, will he find faith on the earth when he comes back? He questions it. And so, I've been actually listening to a lot of sermons from pastors from the 70s and 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s. And I was surprised that when they are talking about and teaching on the end times, they would say this. They would say that, well, the world is going to go the heck, so why not just let it burn? Why not just let everything go? Why not just even excel at it? Let it excel. Pull away as the church. Don't do the things that are good and right and true, and let the world just go haywire. I don't know about you, but when I hear such a message, my stomach gets sick. It's terrible. There's something that I do with our high school students. I did it once last year when we celebrated them, when the seniors were right up here. Remember this, Rob? Rob, help me out with this. Luke, you can help me out with this too. High school students, you can help me out with this. All right? Let me hear it, Rob. I do that because I truly care for our high school students. I truly care for all of our children. I want them to be blessed by God. I want them to receive all the graces of God. My heart pumps for them. But the reason why my heart pumps for them is this. We love because God first loved us. God first loved us. God first loved our children. God first loved our high school students and our college students. And hopefully my heart pumps for them too. My God loves and cares for the poor and the outcast and the foreigner. There are many times within Holy Scripture that the people of God are criticized when they are not taking care of such individuals. Say it with me. We love because God first loved us. My heart pumps for them too. When our land, when our air, when our seas are polluted, the good creation that God has made, and we know that God cares for it. But also I see that there are many truths that this world has disassociated itself from. Our culture has disassociated itself from. They have separated themselves from God, from the church, from the Holy Scriptures, from God's moral laws. And I see the pain and the sorrow and just the discrepancy of it all. And I don't want it anymore. I want a world that is established by God. I want to see God's ways come to this world. And the reason why I do is because we love, because God first loved us. I had a whole other sermon. Actually, I had two other sermons before this one. When we think about all these things, we wonder, what was the mission? What was God meaning to do? And it's nothing new. Nothing new whatsoever. I wish I actually had a picture of Israel right up here for you guys to see. But if you could just imagine with me the Holy Land right next to the sea. Do you ever wonder why God gave them that land? Do you ever wonder? The reason why God gave them that land, or at least one major reason why they gave them that land, was it was called a land bridge. And you might be wondering, what's a land bridge? Well, think of a bridge. It's a place where you get from one place to the other. Well, Israel was a land bridge from the east to the west, to the north to the south. And the reason for this, the placement of this, was very key. Because that place was given because the rest of the known world came right through there. There was a reason for that. It's because Israel was meant to be a witness to the rest of the world. They were meant to show and to tell and to proclaim God's ways to all the people who came through so that then they would be able to take that into their own lands. It was a key place to try to spread the word of God, God's ways, and God's kingdom. But do you remember what the Israelites did? Not only did they fall into sin, but the way they started to structure themselves isolated themselves. They did not care. Their hearts were not pumping with the love of God. They weren't reaching out to those who were coming through. And then we hear in the book of, well, we hear later from where the early church went. Did they stay in Jerusalem? Yes or no? Did they stay in Samaria? Yes or no? Where was it supposed to go? To the rest of the world. They were supposed to win the world over. The church is meant to win the world over. Not just with each other, not just within the four walls of the church, but we are meant to conquer this world. And we do in the end. We know that in the end, the book of Revelation tells us that the victory is the Lord's. He wins no matter what. And now all we're trying to do is to live in that. But a lie that we have bought into as Christians is the separation of church and state. That is a great lie. The lie that we have bought into is that our faith is our own. It's private. We have bought into it. It's not. All of God's ways, all of God's law, all of God's gospel, all of God's good graces, all of God, what God has for his church is meant to prevail everywhere. And you and me are meant to be involved. We were not given the Holy Spirit to stay in our homes. We were not baptized and made clean and forgiven so that then we could enjoy that forgiveness to ourselves and not share that forgiveness with others. We were not given riches only to hoard them for ourselves. But those riches are meant to be shared to everyone. And the reason for that we love because God first loved us. I wondered for a while here, what is the church meant to be? And this is actually what we're going to get into when we talk about the Church Renewal Lab, because the church is meant to be something much greater than we maybe think it's supposed to be. Sometimes what we think the church is just a mere aspect of the church, and we take one aspect of the church and we make that the church when there's all these other aspects that the church is supposed to be about as well. And, you know, there can be some good to that. God may give me a certain gift, a spiritual gift, a certain desire to make sure that those things happen. But if I am going ahead and saying, well, that's all the church is, and then I say, oh, these other areas we can just leave behind, well, then we're going to be a faulty church, a weak church, a church that's not standing on the firm foundation. And so I tried to put together a list. I want to read this to you. What the church is meant to be. The church is meant to be the primary place to encounter and receive God and his salvation through worship, his word, the gospel, and the sacraments. The church is meant to be a temple where God resides, guides, forgives, empowers, gives gifts, and blesses. The church is a school to help people know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all his truth. The church is meant to be a hospital for the sinful, for the sick, and for the hurting. The church is meant to be a court to uphold God's holiness and justice, both in the church and in the world and in the culture. The church is meant to be a boot camp to forge warriors on a mission for God, his church, and his kingdom. The church is meant to be a food bank to feed, help, and provide for the poor, the oppressed, and the foreigner. But in that, the church is not to be a free-for-all buffet for what you want to pick and choose about Christianity. The church is meant to be a wedding banquet where the people and children of God celebrate joyously. And the church is meant to be a kingdom that establishes God's will and ways, not just within the church and its people, but throughout the world and culture. That is what the church is meant to be. Can I get an amen? Amen. I desire that. The event that we had this past Sunday evening, I think it was a good event, an awesome event. A lot of people did a lot of work to make that event happen. And I'm grateful for all the help. So thank you. It was amazing to see what happened that during that week. We were down to about 180 registrations, right? When we thought we had 500, someone hacked us. But out of that, within one day, when we finally found out, we went to about 180 registrations back up. Within about one day, back up to 380. Praise be to God. And then on top of that, because of that, we decided we're going to try to get this out even more. Make sure that people know about this. And so we wanted to make it online, get it online for many people to see. And I think it actually became an event that was even greater than it was meant to be. What we thought it was going to be. Even when the devil works against his people, even when there's wrongs that are being done, God brings glory through it. Amen. Praise be to God. I want you to hear from me, your pastor. It was said from this stage on Sunday night, Sunday evening, that we are meant to go hard. That we are to dedicate our lives to the things of God and to prevail the godly ways in the church, in our world, and in our culture. And I agree with that. We are meant to go hard. We are meant to go hard in feeding people, the poor, the outcast, the foreigner, the born, the unborn, to protect them. We are meant to go hard for God's truth. We are meant to go hard for God's ways. We are meant to go hard for God's gospel. We are meant to go hard for it all, leaving nothing behind. And my hope is that we as a church would go in that direction. Because we love, because God first loved. Do it with me. May that be what the world hears, the heart of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Pray with me. Lord God, bless your people abundantly. Bless the poor. Bless the struggling. Bless the hurting. Bless those who need you, and we all need you, Lord. We ask for your healing. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless your church to be what it's supposed to be. We ask that you would bless your people as we are meant to be. We ask that we would be a place that encounters and receives God. We ask that we would be a temple where God resides, guides, forgives, empowers, gives gifts, and blesses. We ask that we would be a school to help people know God, a hospital for the sinful, the hurting, and the sick, a court to uphold God's holiness and justice, a boot camp to forge warriors on a mission for God, His church and kingdom, a food bank to feed, help, and provide for the poor, the oppressed, and the foreigner, a wedding banquet where the people of God joyously celebrate, and a kingdom that establishes God's will and ways here on earth and in the lives of many. Lord, you loved because we love because you first loved us. You died on Calvary that we may be saved. Help us to join in that salvation. Amen.